everyone. Welcome to season 7 of the Erasing Shame podcast. I am your co-host, Victoria Ching. This season's focus is Christian Asian mental health. This focus covers a broad range of topics. Today's topic is rest. And my special guest is Hugo Chang, my dad, my friend. Do we look alike? You tell us. I wanted to have the topic cover rest because we are in a new year, 2024, and since 2023 of August, I personally have had multiple compounding events that have led to me trying to muscle my way through all the challenges. And it isn't until this month of January that I am actually allowing myself to rest. And I wanted to have a conversation about what healthy rest looks like, when we should rest, and also talk about hustle culture, human flourishing, burnout, and we'll touch on a bunch of different subtopics. But first, I'd like to ask you, Hugo, Dad, what kind of person are you when it comes to work and when it comes to rest?
That's interesting. You invite me to the topic of rest because actually rest doesn't come naturally for me. I'm more of a task-oriented person. I'm not sure it's my personality or my upbringing of being Chinese American, you know, just go, 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 work, 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 or maybe both. But I'm very task-oriented. I get a sense of satisfaction by accomplishing things. I like to do things. I don't want to just sit around and do nothing. So I'm constantly on the go. But that can be unhealthy when I'm, you know, doing too much and not resting. So that's kind of who I am. And I've been learning how to enjoy and how to have the necessary rest that I need.
Mm. And then for me, I am more of a people/relational oriented person. I can be task oriented. I can be very task oriented. But in terms of how I move through life, I spend a lot of time scheduling people in and building my relationships, because that's what gives me a sense of purpose, a sense of fulfillment, a sense of satisfaction more than completing tasks. But because I am your daughter, I feel like I get a mix of that relation-oriented lifestyle and task-oriented, because you are a pastor, so you're technically required to be relationally oriented.
Yeah, I think my default is, again, you know, accomplish tasks. So I thrive on what's easy for me to do, strategic planning, to think about where's the church going the next year, 5 year, 10 years from now. So that's pretty natural. I mean, I still pray about it and ask God for direction. But when it comes to pastoring people, caring for people, spending time with them, see how they're doing, I have to work hard at doing, you know. And so sometimes I think by God's grace, I do well. So people actually, when I tell them that I'm task oriented, they're kind of shocked. They're like, oh no, you're so relational. It's actually, if only knew, I'm actually forcing myself to do this. But, you know, so I'm trying to balance out. And I admire, like, you thrive on relationship and you make an effort to build friendship and to spend time with people very naturally. So that's great. Yeah, so,
I mean, all my friends, really like you. So I think it'd be hard for them to imagine that you're not people oriented, but you never know. How people perceive you and how you actually are can be very different. Let's see. So I have a point that I wrote down, and I'm just going to talk a little bit about it because I feel like it's very relevant in the USA, America culture, where work is essential to our being, and we attach a lot of value and worth to our work. And there's an idea of hustle culture. And I think hustle culture is actually antithetical to human flourishing, to who we were made to be. But I think in order to discuss hustle culture and how it is antithetical to human flourishing, we have to define it. I would say hustle culture is an unhealthy leaning towards productivity and a go, go, go attitude in the name of achieving and measuring our worth on how much we can do at the expense of maybe some slower practices like getting a healthy amount of sleep or being off our phones or our emails to just be present with people or be present with our own bodies and our emotions. How would you define hustle culture?
Yeah, I'm pretty much agree with you. I think it's that go, go, go mentality, right? That you're only worth something. You're only worth something to somebody or to yourself if you can kind of have a show of, okay, I did this and this and this. I accomplished this and this, this. And I think whether it's in a company or in the church sometime, we talk about, okay, what have you accomplished? You know, we don't usually say, who have you been with this year? You mm-hmm. know, or who have you spent time with? Who have you ministered to? Even sometimes if we do that, it's still in the context of like, okay, I have visited X amount of people. Mm-hmm. I have shared the gospel with X mm-hmm. amount of people. It's still kind of task mm-hmm. accomplished more oriented, even it's with people. So, yeah. So I think hustle culture is in certainly American culture, but also in the church often too. You know, we're trying to get things done. And again, you know, we have the Great Commission. We have things to do for the kingdom, but sometimes just doing, and we forget to just be.
Mm. You know, yeah, be I think people. Those metrics aren't bad in itself to measure, like, what have we accomplished this year? What are we looking forward to accomplish in the coming year or the coming quarter? But I think when it becomes our end goal to see results and to see value in just what we do, that becomes dangerous. There's like this famous quote, I don't know who it's from, says, we are human beings, not human doings. Yeah. And the reason why I said like hustle culture is very prominent in the USA is because a lot of my friends / coworkers, people I talk to, don't take their paid time off, or it's really hard for them to ask for a vacation, or when they are vacationing, they're still checking their like Slack, their email, their Microsoft Suite, you know, because there's just constant communication and you feel like you're needed all the time. You can't take a break. But in other countries, they have like vacation is vacation. You don't talk to me. Or there's built-in rest times like the siesta. It's more laid back. Time is less, how would you say, strict?
Yeah, I think they tend to focus on the people and the relationship, and then the time kind of follows it as a component. But then versus, for us, we're trying to fit everything into a lot of time.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's even more common on the East Coast.
Probably.
We walk fast. We walked very fast. People in the Midwest or West Coast, I don't know if they walk as fast as we do. But things are becoming more globalized, so who knows. But anyways, back to hustle culture being antithetical to human flourishing. So burnout is really common from hustle culture, whether you have mental issues, physical issues, or emotional issues from just going and not paying attention to what your body needs. Productivity and hustling itself are not negative pursuits, but they should function within God's design for humanity. And because you are a pastor and you went to seminary, can you give us a too long didn't read summary of God's design for humanity is work good for humanity, and where does rest fall into that?
Well, actually, we don't have to go too far from the Bible, right? Genesis, where God himself, he worked in terms of speak everything into being, right? He created the universe, he created the world, and he spoke things into being. So he did a lot of work and he said it was good. But then God, who actually technically does not need any rest, right? He's self-sustaining, he's eternal, he doesn't get tired like we do. But he actually, you know, on the seventh day, it says that he rested from work. So the work and rest are both there. So work was good. It was pre-sin. You know, he did work and he told Adam to do work. But in that creation order, he also rested on the seventh day. You know, and sometimes I wonder about what is, you know, if he doesn't get tired, what does it mean? Is he just pretending to rest so that he can, you know, give us a model? And some people say he's just doing that as a model, kind of like Jesus got baptized to give us a model. But I think actually there's probably something more to it than that. I think the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right, that other than their nature of being creative and doing things and making things, is also in their nature to be relational, right? So relational within the Trinity, so that they stop from creating and then they turn inward to enjoy a time of what maybe you call quote-unquote rest, but a time of the communal relationship between Father, Son, and the Spirit. That's kind of conjecture, but it does say that he rests on the seventh day, and therefore then he gave rest to us. He asked us to rest, kind of follow after his pattern. And so I think biblically speaking, right in Genesis, we see God modeling work as good, but also rest as crucial.
Mm-hmm. I think people forget that work was given before the fall. So work, we're not cursed to work. Work is actually
it's good
for us, gives us purpose. But when it becomes our God instead of God himself, that's when it becomes a detriment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also like the 7 days, we don't know exactly how long the day was, right? It's just a model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this different Christian have different view of, you know, is it a 24-hour day? Is it a long era? But one thing that you can't deny is that he worked and then he rested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I personally have trouble slowing down and taking time to actually rest. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've done this month with my younger brother, Luke, shout out Luke Chang, is doing a social media fast. Hopefully I'm going to do it until February, but it's helped me to have less, like consume less media that's not really necessary. It's nice to keep up with friends. It's nice to keep up with the news, to know what's going on, to know what's happening to people. But I realized I was consuming so much unnecessary information that it's an overload on my brain, and it's not very productive because it's information from all these random sources versus focused information as if I were reading a book or reading like set articles about a topic or talking to a friend.
Yeah, it's interesting, as you were saying, it's not very productive, but it's also not very restful. So mm-hmm. it's not doing either.
Mm-hmm. But scrolling is very common for people. People scroll for hours. I, myself included, have scrolled for hours on different algorithms that are made to keep you there. And we think we're resting, but personally, I don't feel very well rested after I watch videos and memes that are kind of meaningless.
I mean, there's some interesting stuff on there.
Yeah, makes me laugh all the time.
But then, you know, I think there's a reason why they call it doom scrolling sometimes. It's kind of like, I don't know the technical definition of doom scrolling, but sometimes I feel like when I'm scrolling and I can't stop and I'm not being restful, not being productive, I say, oh, I'm doomed.
Yeah, no matter what you're intaking, whether it's memes, whether it is news, world news, local news, or whether it's just images from your friends.
Yeah, actually, you bring up an interesting point. So would you say, I mean, I don't know if this
go ahead.
Line of thinking, but would you say then sort of going on social media, you know, looking at Instagram or scrolling, would you say that's not a very effective form of rest? Or would you categorize that as rest? I mean, it's not productive, but would you say that's right? Because sometimes people will say, hey, I'm taking a break from scrolling through Instagram. That's how I rest.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to that?
Like, you're taking a break by scrolling?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think social media and moderation is...
Moderation, yeah, that's a key.
Good. I don't think social media is inherently bad. Some people say it is because of the design. I personally don't think it's bad. I think a lot of good can be used, can come out of social media. It's a tool.
Hmm.
It depends on the user and how they use it, as long as they're aware. But yeah, I have rested scrolling, and you know, it's a form of creativity too, to share and express through social media. But I would say when you aren't feeling well rested, when your mind doesn't feel very clear, or you feel a little hazy after scrolling, I would say that's maybe when it's not great for you.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I bring it up is kind of thinking about, you know, for me to, what are some ways that I would try to find rest that's helped me to flourish better, right? And I thought about, you know, like I said earlier, I'm more task-oriented, so it's already not very natural for me. I have to force myself or remind myself to rest.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the way I rest, or quote-unquote rest, is I would just, you know, binge watch
show,
right?
Netflix,
on
Hulu, HBO Max.
And I like YouTube. Those shows. I enjoy those shows. And to some degree, I can say I'm resting because I'm not doing work. I'm not doing ministry. I'm just sitting in front of the TV, right? But sometimes I wonder, and sometimes I know that that's actually not very restful. It's entertaining, but then, like you said, in moderation, sometimes if my only form of rest is by watching TV or playing on my iPad, playing some game, or you know, like Clash of Clans, you know, and stuff. So and that's actually not very restful. That's only one form of rest.
Right.
In moderation is good, but then I think God has designed us and given us a variety of form of rest that we need to take those kind of rests, or else it's not healthy.
And there are different kinds of rest, like you mentioned. Physical is one, emotional is another, and spiritual. For me, physical rest would include sleeping. I'm not very good at sleeping. I don't like sleeping, because when I sleep, it takes me a while to fall asleep. And I need to like physically tire myself out if I want to fall asleep fast and have like a deep sleep. And when I do fall asleep, I dream, and the dreams tend to be very annoying dreams, or bad dreams even. And so resting like that is not very restful. But I would say, regardless, sleep is very essential for your health, physical health, mental health, emotional health. It's a regulatory way of resting that was built into our human functioning, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then, although people will say when you're moving, you're not resting, but there is rest in physical exercise.
Yes.
Because sometimes if you're just sedentary, you're not necessarily resting. But if I'm bouldering at a gym, or weightlifting, or going on a walk, that is a way for me to rest, not necessarily physically, but mentally. The somatic exercise is actually very calming for a lot of thoughts that I might have running through my brain. And then emotional rest, I think journaling is pretty good. Prayer,
I think sometimes it blends, right? Spiritual, emotional, like just even sitting there enjoying a worship song, you know, whether it's you singing yourself, playing guitar, or you you watch a YouTube songs, you know, the playlist of songs that you really enjoyed, worship songs, or even could be on other music. Doesn't have to be explicitly worship music, but just music that, you know, kind of calming and you can enjoy it, and so on. You know, like what you said earlier too, I think going on a hike, you know, doing some physical activities, like enjoying nature that God created, you know, it's really good, you know, for us.
Even though you're not physically like at rest, you are still resting.
Yeah, there's so many forms, right? Like sitting down with a nice cup of tea and a blanket, and just
and the dog,
you know,
or pet
the dog, and or just reading a book, that's rest. But also going off for exercise, you know, like climbing or hiking,
or running,
you know, running is also a form of rest. But they all have to be very intentional to make it happen, at least especially for us who are task oriented.
Mm-hmm. And once again, in moderation, because if you do those things too much and you're neglecting your other forms of rest, it may catch up to you. It probably will. Yeah. So going back to it being a new year, we are in a culture that celebrates achievement of goals, setting goals, vision boarding, manifestation of your dreams. And I would like to offer a different perspective of the year. I would like to say that maybe we should consider relieving ourselves of the pressure to be an idealized version of ourselves every new calendar year. I think a growth mindset is very valuable, that we are changing and evolving, hopefully, to be a healthier version of ourselves. But that work doesn't have to happen within just a year. It can happen continuously and in small ways to make a big change, or even in big ways if you're capable. But consider building healthy habits into your life for your well-being, not just for self-improvement, to show that you are the best version of yourself, but actually for yourself, so that you can function as the human God created you to be. And I think we should think about the purpose of our growth, our sanctification, our healthiness. Why do we do all of this? Why do we work? Why do we rest? Why do we try to be better? What are we trying to accomplish, and why?
Yeah, sometimes I think when you, at least for me, you could be doing the same thing, but one is very restful, restfully doing it, and the product is rest and flourishing. But sometimes you could be doing the same thing that's not very restful. So for example, right, you talked about earlier the spiritual rest. And for me, spiritual rest, one form of it is to, like your quiet time, your devotion, right? You set aside time and just kind of come into God's presence to worship Him, to read His Word, let His Word kind of wash over you and guide you and so on, right? But then sometimes, I remember, at least for me, again, sometimes because I'm so task-oriented, I can turn everything into a task, right? So me, it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to do my quiet time today so I can check off the quiet time box. I'm going to read 5 chapters today so I can check off by the end of the year I have accomplished reading through the Bible in 1 year or whatever, mm-hmm. right? So when I think about doing that, sometimes I think in reflection and hindsight, it's not very restful. I'm like, oh, I got to read this. I got to read faster. Mm-hmm. I got to read more. Mm-hmm. How long is this chapter? How come every chapter in Jeremiah is so long, you know? And so it's actually not very restful. But then I had to remind myself the spiritual rest of doing things like that is actually just coming to the presence of God to enjoy His presence. Mm-hmm. When Jesus says, abide in me, or when Mary sat at Jesus' feet, right? It's not a kind of hustle culture attitude. It's actually stop, pause, and just enjoy. Just be and enjoy the presence of Jesus. And so then I realized, oh, I don't have to, you know, try to rush through this or try to read as many chapters as possible, but just really be in the presence of God. And that spiritual rest is actually quite refreshing after I've done that. You know, I feel like, oh, you know, God refreshed me and helped me to recentered so that I can go about my task in a much more peaceful way. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are some good thoughts. And in the future episodes, I think it would be great to talk about ways that we can lean into community to rest. Yep. And also, you know, self-regulation, but community is a huge part of our flourishing.
Yeah, that's a great point. Very interesting point too, right? Because sometimes when we think of rest, I think, I don't know about you, but automatically when we think of rest, we think of it as a very personal, right, very individualistic and very private thing. And a lot of it is, right? But I think the thought of finding rest, enjoying rest in a community, setting. I think that would be very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. I think it's needed too, because God did not design us to be loners.
Yeah. Right. And there are some people who will take your energy, and then there are some people who will give you energy, and neither is, you know, better than the other. It's just an observation about our relationships, and it's helpful to know who and how you can rest, who you can rest with, how you can rest. And that is all the time we have for today. But I am pretty sure Hugo will be semi-regular guests if I can schedule you in with your busy year.
Thanks.
Thank you everyone for listening, and I will see you on the next episode of Erasing Shame Season 7.
Thank you for listening to the Erasing Shame podcast. Get this episode's show notes at our website, erasingshame.com. Subscribe to the Erasing Shame podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or any podcast app. And please add a rating and review so that we can reach more people with our message of hope and healing.